Morning, everybody. It is lovely to see you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alistair. I'm the pastor here of the church. And as a pastor and a preacher, I don't know what's harder, trying to speak for only 15 minutes or trying to speak right after children have performed a nativity play. There's no way I can follow that. But as we've already heard a little bit this morning, most of us know the story of a certain green, grouchy creature who lived on a lonely mountain above Whoville. Annoyed by the lights, the laughter, the joyful noise of Christmas. And so he hatched a plan. If I take the trees, if I take the gifts, the food, and the decorations, maybe, just maybe, I can take Christmas itself. Yes, it's the Grinch. And so he crept down into the town. Sorry if I'm going to spoil this for anybody. You can watch it this afternoon if you haven't seen it. It's a great movie. But he crept down into town, he snatched up every ribbon and wreath, loaded it into his sleigh, and rode back up onto the mountain, convinced that he had finally stopped Christmas Day from coming. But then something unexpected happened. As the sun rose, he heard not crying, but singing. The people of Whoville gathered together, no presents, no feast, no trimmings of Christmas. And yet they were still celebrating with joy. In that moment, he realized a powerful truth. Christmas wasn't something you could buy or something you could steal. It wasn't in the packages, the wrappings, or the decorations at all. And that moment mirrors a truth that we often forget. The heart of Christmas is not in the externals. Now, at this time of year, our houses are full and our streets are filled with all sorts of Christmas decorations. Some of them are ancient decorations and some completely modern. We've got wreaths on doors, presents under trees, and of course, the tree itself, often sparkling with lights. And most people enjoy them every year without really thinking about them twice, and that's fine. But many of these traditions actually point us, sometimes quietly, maybe even unintentionally, back to Jesus. So for just a few minutes, I want us to look at three things that we have all seen this December. The Christmas wreath, the Christmas presents, and a Christmas tree. And then we'll turn briefly to a Bible passage that pulls all the threads together to help us see that even many of the trimmings of Christmas can be found, that are found in most houses in the UK, actually can and should point us to Jesus Christ. So the first is the Christmas wreath. The wreath is one of the oldest Christmas traditions we still use here in the UK and in other parts of the world today. Now, it has changed a little bit over the years. It's difficult to be completely accurate with this, but the best guess is that the Christmas wreath became a symbol during the Christmas period, during the 1600s, so a pretty long time ago. And initially, it was made because people didn't want to waste the branches that they'd have to cut off their Christmas tree to get it into their house or to make it look symmetrical. So the leftover branches were fashioned into this new decoration. And for Christians, during that time and from then on, the wreath has become a symbol of eternal life. It's circular shape, no beginning, no end. And it's evergreen material, a picture of eternal life, life that keeps on going even when everything else withers. Early Christians placed candles on those wreaths during Advent to remember that Jesus is the light of the world. Some traditions had different candles symbolizing hope, peace, love, and joy, and then a final white candle being lit on Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So every time you walk past a wreath on the door of a shop or on a neighbor's house, it quietly says to you, there is a light that does not go out and there is a life that does not end. Then take the Christmas gift. Why do we give gifts? We give them to close family members, to distant relatives that we see once a year. We give them to the new boyfriend and girlfriend of that niece and nephew who we've never met before. A present means we're showing love. It means that we are thinking about someone, that we want joy for other people. It's a demonstration that you've been thinking of them and care for them. And a present must be received. You can't enjoy it if you never open it. So why give Christmas presents? Well, part of it goes back to the wise men, as we've already thought about, who brought gifts to Jesus on that first Christmas. And part of it comes from Christian generosity. St. Nicholas, one of the early Christian bishops, was well known for his generosity to those in need. He was regularly said to have given gifts as an expression of his faith. But underneath all of that is a deeper truth. Christmas exists because God gave. Gifts show love, they cost something, and they must be received. And in Christmas, God is giving us his Son. Not wrapped in paper, but wrapped in humanity. Not focused, not forced on us, but freely given. And then we have the good old Christmas tree. The Christmas tree is another one with Christian roots. Medieval Christians in Europe brought evergreens into their homes as that picture of eternal life. A legend has it, obviously there's not a great deal of historical backing to this, but that Martin Luther was actually the first person to put candles on a tree after being struck how the stars shined through the trees at night during one of his walks. And he wanted to recreate that beauty for his children at home. And so he put trees on the lights, which reminded them of the stars that showed the wise men where to find Jesus. But in the winter, an evergreen stands tall when everything else around it looks dead. Lights shine on a Christmas tree in the darkness and bring joy to both old and young. And often there's a star or an angel on top of the tree, again reminding us of the star pointing to Jesus' birth. Three so-called trimmings of Christmas that we see all around us, but which have a deeper meaning. The wreath quietly says there is a light that doesn't go out and a life that doesn't end. The presents sit under the tree are a reminder that Christmas exists because God gave. And the tree whispers to us, in a cold, dark world, there is one who brings light, life, and hope. So let's take these three clues, light, life, gift, and hear how God himself describes Christmas. I'm going to read a few verses from the beginning of John's Gospel, an eyewitness account of the life of Jesus. John says this about Jesus. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me just for a few moments help us consider why the truths of this passage are so important and how they teach us about why Jesus came, what he brings, and how we can receive him. In him is life. Jesus brings eternal life, real life. Christmas begins in a stable, but the story doesn't end in a stable. John tells us that Jesus came to give life, not just survival, not a routine, not a set of religious rules, but deep, lasting, eternal life. And when the Bible speaks of life, it means life with God, life as it was meant to be. And life that cannot be destroyed. Just like an evergreen wreath or a tree that stays alive in the deepest of winters, Jesus brings a life that continues when everything else fails. Health, jobs, relationships, peace in the world, we live in a fragile time. But Jesus offers life that isn't fragile. Jesus offers life that is true, and it comes from God himself, and it is lasting. That is what Christmas is ultimately celebrating, God stepping into this world to give us life eternal, unbreakable life. But the second thing is that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus brings light into our darkness. We don't need to look far in our world to see darkness, do we? We see it all around us. Wars between nations, brokenness in families, personal struggles with fear, guilt, shame, emptiness, anxiety, loneliness, and the list goes on and on. Christmas lights look beautiful because they shine in the dark. We were in the car the other day with our two-year-old, and she's just fascinated by pointing out Christmas lights along the path with utter amazement in her eyes, because lights shine in the darkness and they capture you. That's exactly how Jesus came, John says. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's not just a comforting image, it is a promise. Darkness cannot win. Not ultimately, not forever, because Jesus has come. The lights on the tree, the candles on a wreath, they are small reminders of a much greater truth. Jesus shines into our fears, our failures, and our shadows with the light of God that cannot be extinguished. The third thing is that the true light was coming into the world. That means God is not distant. See, if you've ever wondered what God is like, or whether he sees you, or whether God cares about you, Christmas gives you a beautiful answer. God didn't stay far away. God didn't send an angel or a message or a principle into this world to help us. God came himself. The true light didn't stay in heaven. He entered our world into poverty, vulnerability, and weakness. That is the message of Christmas, that God draws near. And then finally, the fourth thing is that to all who did receive him, Jesus is a gift that must be received. See, presents only bring joy when they're opened. Imagine leaving all your gifts untouched under the tree. What a strange Christmas that would be, and what a waste. And John says Jesus came as a gift, but like any gift, he must be received. How? Well, to those who believed in his name. To receive Jesus is to trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, all the things you've done wrong, to welcome him into your life, to say, Jesus, I need you. I want the life and light you bring. I cannot do this by myself. And you see the promise there. He gave the right to become children of God. Not visitors of God, not spectators of God's plan, not distant admirers of God, but children of God. Belonging to his family, known, loved, and secure in him. That is the greatest Christmas gift there ever has been. So this Christmas, you don't have to get rid of the wreaths, the presents, or the tree. Enjoy them. Celebrate Christmas, but let them speak to you. Because the wreath says, Jesus brings eternal life. The presents say, God has given his son for you and to you. And the tree says, Jesus brings light into the darkness. And to end with what the Bible says, to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. I pray that would be true of us all this Christmas. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that Christmas story, the wonderful truth that Jesus came as a baby, that he took on flesh and became one of us so that we can know what God is like, so that we can be in a relationship with you, and so that our sins can be forgiven. Father, as we go into the busy Christmas season, would you help us to fix our eyes on Jesus? Help us to glorify him and to keep him at the center of it all. We ask all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his glory. Amen.